The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very, very hearty welcome to 2022 on Chai FM.
Happy 2022. We've got Shavua Tov. We also have Chodesh Tov. Not only is it the month of January that we've got just gone into, but also the Hebrew month of Shvat. So new months, new years, new weeks to begin with, and hopefully new news. Hopefully some of the news that we left behind in 2021 will not come along with us into the new year. We certainly hope that. And we hope that things will be a lot better, and no doubt there will be some, there will continue to be some interesting things to report on, to chat about. And I hope that the listeners will continue to get involved, have their say, let us know what they're thinking and also what they're hoping to hear about. So let's start the year off on a slightly new slate. No New Year resolutions, but a slightly new slate, and hopefully we can get into some good things that are happening around our part of the world.
And we can only hope. Although the start of the New Year, our calendar, wasn't very good. New Year's Eve, there was an attack from Gaza. Two rockets were fired towards Israel late on Friday night from Gaza. Do we know what lies behind these particular rocket launches? Is it the timing being that of the New Year? Is it just a sporadic attack? What can we see? What can we read into this?
Very difficult to know exactly what precipitated these two rockets that were fired late on Friday evening. Both of them landed in the sea off the coast of Israel, fortunately. So there were no sirens. There were no attempts to intercept these rockets the moment they were launched. Their trajectory was tracked. The intelligence system in Israel is able to map out precisely where these rockets are expected to land. And as a consequence of where they are due to land, reactions are appropriate. So in this particular instance, because both of those rockets were mapped to land in the sea off the coast of Tel Aviv, one a little bit further south, more in the way of Rishon LeZion, and there was no attempt to try to inform the general public or to take any action against these rockets. So fortunately, at least, that was the situation was that they were relatively safe. But of course, the question still arises as to why these rockets would have been launched, what precipitated it, and what the Israeli reaction should be to those rockets. The Egyptian authorities got into action immediately those two rockets were launched, trying to explain to Israel that this was as a result of some sort of a fault, that there was no intention to launch those rockets at all. There were some reports that suggested that the rockets were launched because of bad weather, that lightning might have struck the launch pads where these rockets were sitting and therefore caused them to launch unexpectedly. The problem, of course, is that all the time that these rockets are sitting on launch pads pointed towards Israel, we have a problem. That is just not acceptable, even if the rockets are not launched. We have a problem with that concern. If this is what the Hamas authorities in Gaza are doing on an average day, is placing rockets into launches facing them towards Israel, waiting for the moment to launch them, then we already have a substantial problem. And the IDF and the Israeli government weighed up the Egyptian the reasons that were given by the Egyptian authorities as to why these rockets were launched. The Egyptians were, of course, trying to calm the situation down as much as possible, but unfortunately they were not successful, maybe fortunately they were not successful in convincing the Israelis that this was just as a result of an unintended accident. And Israel did respond overnight on Saturday night against targets in Gaza, launching Israeli missiles towards those targets. Israel, of course, always has a list of targets and military operational targets in Gaza ready in case there might be a need to respond. Israel's policy at the moment remains that no action on the part of the Hamas administration or indeed any of the renegade groups in Gaza will go unanswered. And this was no exception. Saturday night, there were a number of attacks launched by Israeli fighter jets against targets in the Gaza Strip. Fortunately, it didn't escalate into anything more than that, and it seems to have calmed down. We are told that we are in a period of one of the most quiet situations that Israel has experienced with regard to Gaza in quite a long time. Let's not forget that there was Operation Guardian of the Walls that took place over 11 days during the month of May. Since then, apparently only 5 long-range rockets have been fired from the Hamas-run enclave in Gaza towards Israel, which compares to a lot more that follows previous Gaza operations that were carried out. So we are being told that this is one of the most quiet periods that we've experienced, particularly in the wake of an operation that took place last May. Nonetheless, the situation remains pretty tense. There is certainly no opportunity to rest on our laurels, and things are certainly on edge with regard to the situation around Gaza. There have been some attacks, attempted attacks across the border. So things are certainly remaining quite tense, but at least for now, fortunately, those rocket attacks on Friday night didn't escalate into anything more serious.
Well, that's good news. We can just hope that these rockets, in terms of sophistication, don't become more advanced during 2022, although we did see developments over the last couple of years in respect of how these rockets have been built and becoming far more accurate, and it's always of concern, but maybe we should take Israel at face value, and it was perhaps a mistake. But that being said, those kind of mistakes are extremely costly. They can cost lives, and obviously Israel had to react in the manner in which it did. Moving on, of course, it's still COVID, it's still Omicron. So Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has announced arrangements for moving forward into Israel's wave of Omicron infections. What do we mean by this, and how will Israel be managing these infections, which I do believe have gone up in the last couple of days?
A lot, not just up, but gone up a lot. We're talking now in the range of more than 5,000 people being diagnosed with Omicron each day, which has been a massive increase since, let's say, week after week. We're just seeing that the number of people diagnosed is increasing dramatically. And the Prime Minister made a public announcement yesterday where at first he said there was an attempt to try somehow to slow down the infection rate, the onset of Omicron into Israel, by closing the borders and by trying to keep Omicron slightly further away from Israel. Obviously, it was inevitable that Omicron would get here and there was no way to escape it. But his words were that they tried to slow down the rate at which Omicron took hold in order to prepare the groundwork, in order to prepare the medical facilities, in order to prepare the general public so that we were ready for whatever would be coming next. And so we already are something like 4 or 5 weeks into the current phase, into the current fifth wave, as they're calling it now, which is, of course, the Omicron wave. There are some suggestions that as many as 40% of Israelis will be infected with Omicron or have been infected with Omicron within the next 3 to 4 weeks. So this is something that's really sweeping through Israel in fairly dramatic fashion. So what is Israel doing in order to try to cope with this? In the first instance, the Prime Minister, having announced already some time ago that Israel would move forward to vaccinate with a fourth dose of vaccine, has now opened up all of the vaccination stations to those people who are over 60 and to those who are health workers. We thought that the situation that the vaccines would be available already some weeks ago, but that was slowed down a little bit. It was made available to only those people who are immunocompromised. But as of yesterday, over 60s and health workers are free to go and get their fourth vaccination, providing they are more than, I think, 3 months after the previous vaccination. So the idea is not to necessarily prevent people from getting infected with Omicron, but at least to try to limit the medical impact that Omicron might have on Israel. And of course, our medical facilities are of primary concern, Israel is also using antiviral drugs that have been brought in, both from Pfizer and from other manufacturers, in order to deal with people who are slightly worse off, who are slightly more ill as a result of having contracted the virus. As of now, there has been a slight increase in the number of serious people in hospitals. The number went up from between 80 and 90s to something like 110 serious cases of COVID in Israel's hospitals right now. The level to which the hospitals apparently can cope is about 10 times that. So they're saying that once we start reaching 12 to 1500 serious cases in the hospitals, that's when we're going to really have to be concerned about things. At the moment, fortunately, we're not near that. And there doesn't seem to be any indication that the number of serious cases is going to ramp up so dramatically. But interestingly, the Prime Minister also decided that people who have been vaccinated and who have come into direct contact with somebody else who has been diagnosed with COVID and who then test negative after having come into contact with that infected person are not required to go into quarantine. And that speaks a lot to the attitude that we're trying not to close things down. Schools remain open, shops remain open, malls remain open, restaurants, gyms, places of entertainment, everything, businesses, places of work remain open, even though there has been a recommendation that people might want to work from home wherever possible in order to somehow slow down the rate of infection. But as of now, there has been a massive attempt to keep the show on the road, to keep the economy open, not to prevent people from going about their daily business as much as possible, but at the same time trying to protect people from getting seriously ill. So I think the battle to try to prevent people from actually contracting Omicron is effectively given up. People are talking about herd immunity now as a result of Omicron. I'm not really quite sure what all of that means, but I think that the battle to try and prevent people from being infected by Omicron is given up, and the battle is now on to make sure that those infections don't lead to serious illnesses, hence the vaccinations, hence the antiviral drugs, hence all a manner of other attempts to try somehow to make sure that people don't get seriously ill. And still no word about opening up entry to foreign travelers other than those who have considered to be humanitarian cases. Even Israelis are being prevented from traveling to certain countries. No further word about a change in that strategy.
Antti, just a quick recap there. You said there's a model that predicts 40% of the Israeli population will be infected by Omicron. What is the time period of that?
In the next 3 to 4 weeks.
The next 3 to 4 weeks?
Yes. Sure. They claim that within the next 3 to 4 weeks, almost 50% of Israelis by that stage will either have or have had the Omicron variant. That is one of the predictions that I've seen.
That is a serious prediction. In closing, Iran attempted to launch payloads into space on Thursday. This failed. What were those payloads and what's behind this failure?
Well, you know, we have a little slot that I like to talk about, which is called Iran Check Your Mezuzahs, because Iran seems to have befallen so much bad luck in recent times. So many things going wrong, fires breaking out unexpectedly in government facilities, people being killed unexpectedly with various accidents that are going around. A lot of it unexplained. This time around, Iran's attempted to launch 3 payloads into orbit on Thursday. Apparently, according to a defense ministry spokesman in Iran, the payloads did not launch into orbit as expected. Because why? Because the rocket was unable to reach the required speed, which is a very fascinating kind of explanation to why this one didn't go right, and not for the first time. The defense ministry then went into whole detail about the speed that the rocket needs to reach in order to be able to launch these payloads into orbit, and the speed that actually was reached, which was just below the required speed, in order to try and convince people that they were almost just about there, but not quite. We don't really know exactly what was in these payloads. But of course, quite a number of countries have spoken out saying that this is contrary to United Nations rules, some countries have even said, including France, interestingly, that this attempt to launch a payload into space was even more regrettable as the nuclear talks between Iran and the P5+1 countries, particularly the United States, apparently have been making progress in Austria, although that progress seems to be very, very slow indeed. But a German diplomat had called upon Iran to stop sending satellite launch rockets into space. It may well have been satellite or a number of satellites that Iran has attempted to launch. But as I've said, it's not for the first time that these launches into orbit have failed. Other than saying that the rocket didn't manage to reach its required speed, there was no explanation. I mean, I imagine that when you're already spending billions of dollars putting a launch together with a rocket that is supposed to take a payload into space, you will already have checked whether these rockets will be able to reach the required speed. And so the fact that it didn't reach the required speed must have a reason behind it. There must be something that went wrong. We don't know exactly what the reason is, and we probably will never know exactly what went on Thursday. But all we know is that it's just another failure in a whole series of failures that Iran seems to be suffering at this time.
Yeah, I'm reading between the lines. We know what may have happened there. The intelligence agencies perhaps working a little bit overtime. Anthony Reich, thank you so much. Look forward to chatting again tomorrow morning.